Deutschlandfunk Interview.
Mrs. Livni, thank you for finding the time for us. The UN General Assembly passed a resolution for a ceasefire in Gaza without clearly condemning Hamas terror. Germany abstained. Do you have any understanding for this?
No, I don't. Any decent human being who watched and understood what happened during October 7th, two children, two women, families, these are all crimes against humanity. It's not just another round of violence. The ceasefire can give an answer to it. And my expectations from the entire international community is first to condemn, but it's not enough, to support Israel in its fight against this evil terrorist organization.
The explanation we hear is that Germany does not want to endanger the dialogue with the Arab countries by saying no. Don't you find that convincing?
I didn't understand the reason why. Which dialogue?
The dialogue to find some solution for the situation, for the war.
The only situation for the war is to dismantle Hamas from its capability. I was the chief negotiator for peace between Israel and the Palestinians in the last two rounds of negotiations. There is no hope for peace with Hamas. And therefore, the only way to achieve peace between Israel and the Palestinians in the future, and I do believe in peace based on two states for two peoples, is to take Hamas off this field. They do not represent any legitimate aspiration of the Palestinians. They represent a jihadistic religious ideology, which is not for the establishment of a Palestinian state, but against the existence of the state of Israel, and against Jews living in the Middle East as one of the terrorist called his parents and said to his parents in quite happy voice that they should congratulate him because he just killed with his own hand 10 Jews, not Israelis. So the entire international community should understand what we are all facing.
And yet, the resolution also expresses worldwide concern about the humanitarian disaster in Gaza and how it will unfold during the war. Even your closest allies up front, the United States, are extremely skeptical that a ground offensive in Gaza can succeed. Joe Biden has publicly admonished you not to make the same mistakes that the U.S. made after 9/11, when the thirst for revenge blinded the country. That's more or less what he said. Don't you see that danger?
At first, before relating to the humanitarian needs of the Palestinians in Gaza, I would like to reiterate and emphasize the humanitarian situation of around 230 hostages that are being kidnapped from their homes and beds, including women and children and babies. And they should be released without any condition. That's first. Secondly, the humanitarian needs of the Palestinians are being taken care of from a Rafah passage, which is the border between Gaza Strip and Egypt. Israel enables these goods to pass to the Palestinians. But Israel also called the Palestinians who live in Gaza City to leave the city and to go to the south part of Gaza Strip because we need to act militarily against Hamas. And they are using these civilians within Gaza City. And therefore, but let me finish because I want to say another thing about experiences.
Okay.
Because first, we need to learn from our experience. Our experience is that Israel quit Gaza Strip in 2005. I supported it. It was the disengagement plan. We dismantled all the settlements. We pulled out our military forces. There is no one Israeli soldier in Gaza Strip since 2005. And the UN EU delegation as a mission was there to supervise the crossing between Gaza Strip and Egypt to make sure that there is no infiltration of weapon. And then Hamas took over. And since that day, even though we are not there, there are rounds and rounds of violence. So I was in the Israeli cabinet, and once there was an agreement with Hamas, okay. And later we have deterrence, but they continue. And therefore, our experience is that everything that we tried based on any understanding with them or deterrence didn't work.
Okay,
so, and lots of people paid with their lives.
Mrs. Livni, so let me address your three points. Let's maybe start with the hostages. Don't you worry that the expansion of the military offense will make it harder to get them released?
I am worried. I cannot sleep at night thinking about a 9-month-old baby that they are keeping when my grandson is at the same age. Hmm. Thinking about women, thinking about families. This is awful. But I'm not familiar with the details whether there are some negotiations or not. I'm not sure that the real choice is between a military operation or releasing the hostages. I think that putting the pressure on Hamas in order to release the hostages can be also a strategy. So I cannot share this. I'm not in the cabinet right now, but I know that the Israeli government is taking everything in consideration. But yes, it's quite a difficult situation.
So secondly, you told about that the Israeli military has asked the civilians to leave the north and go to the south. But we hear that the Israeli forces are bombing not only in the north, but also in the south. Our sources tell us that there is no safe place in Gaza.
First, there is, because the Israeli army is acting in accordance to the international law, trying to prevent civil casualties. But always, unfortunately, in war, there are civil casualties. But there is no equivalency between terrorist organizations that are looking for civilians to kill and an army of a democratic country that is trying to avoid this. So you can pity those that are living in this situation, also on the Palestinian side, but the responsibility lies on Hamas, because for so many years they are not willing to give these people better lives. They knew when they entered Israel, massacred the civilians, that Israel needs to act. Mm-hmm. I mean, Israel cannot exist when our enemies, this kind of vicious, barbaric organization who think that they can do whatever they want and Israel is too weak, or and I hope that they would not think so, or that the international community would stop Israel from doing the right thing. And this is the right thing, not because of rage and also because we want to retaliate, and rightly so, but this is not just about this. This is about creating any chance for a better future, because otherwise we are doomed, and also the Palestinians.
Okay, but many experts think that's not possible to wipe out Hamas or even dismantle it, because in the end, many strong supporters of Israel as well fear Gaza could be completely destroyed. Many tens of thousands of civilians could be dead. And the survivors' hatred of Israel ensures that the next generation of Hamas fighters will grow up and nothing will be won.
Listen, okay, so this is a vicious circle, and now I'm speaking about the international community. We pulled our forces from Gaza Strip. These children that are being raised in Gaza Strip didn't see any Israeli soldier for 20 years, okay? But there is somebody that tries to ignite the region, to continue and educate them that every Jew or Israeli is their enemy. This is the hatred without us being there. So to say to us now, beware, because maybe they will hate you, come on. They are hating us. And if there is any hope for peace in the future, is without Hamas, with the legitimate Palestinian Authority, those that are not supporting terror, those that we negotiated with in the past, and those that unfortunately are not willing to come to Gaza and to control the Palestinian life because they are afraid of Hamas. And not, and maybe most important thing now is also to speak now about the day after.
Yeah.
Yes. Who will control Gaza the day after? We don't want to reoccupy Gaza. We don't want Hamas to continue and control Gaza Strip. So let's speak about it now. Who's willing?
Who should take control of Gaza?
I wish that in the end of the day, maybe not right the day after, the Palestinian Authority will do so if they want Gaza to be part of their future state. But meanwhile, they don't have enough power or willingness to do so. So there's a need for Egypt, Jordan, Palestinian Authority, United Nations, with Israel and other Arab states to discuss the issue. Because otherwise, Israel will be forced, hopefully not, to stay or to leave. And another terrorist organization, either Hamas or others, will take over.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have these, you know, rounds and rounds and rounds. And for the sake of not only for Israel, but also for the Palestinians who live there, the only solution is to change the situation on the ground, to dismantle Hamas from its military capabilities, and to change the regime. You know, people are speaking about the people in Gaza because they don't have enough humanitarian needs. But it's always a shock that they don't have something to eat, but yet Hamas has enough missiles and weapons to continue and target Israel.
Yeah.
Because they used the millions, the billions that they got from Qatar for their weapon instead of helping their own people.
Mrs. Livni,
just shame.
You mentioned already 2005. You were one of the architects of Israel's
yes.
political decision to withdraw from Gaza.
Yes.
Now, in light of Hamas' monstrous terrorist attacks, how do you assess this? Would you say it was maybe a mistake back then to leave Gaza to its own devices?
I would make a difference between different ideologies, okay, within Israel as well. I don't think that we should have kept the settlements within Gaza Strip. No. We don't want to keep Gaza as part of Israel. I don't believe in this ideology of Greater Israel with the settlements that and keep these areas with all these millions of Palestinians. No way. And therefore, the idea to stop and to dismantle the settlements was the right thing to do, even though it was quite difficult to uproot people, thousands of people that most of them already were born in these settlements, but we decided that this is the right thing to do. The question is not about the disengagement, but the question is from security perspective. What should we do now, or what was the right strategy before? And my strategy was, after the disengagement, to act against Hamas with military force when needed, but also to strengthen the Palestinian Authority. And to, while strengthening them, Hamas is getting weaker, and we could have seen the Palestinian Authority controlling Gaza Strip. This didn't happen, and you know that I criticize also my own government, that Netanyahu, that instead of doing that, he, in a way, strengthened Hamas and weakened the Palestinian Authority. So, no, I do not regret the disengagement, but there are lots of things that we need to do now in deciding the right strategy
mm-hmm.
For Israel, and hopefully we find a partner in the future, not right now, also on the Palestinian side.
Mrs. Livni, at the end, I would like to come to the situation in your country, in Israel. There is discussion about the responsibility of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He has so far refused to accept blame and has instead blamed the intelligence services for not informing him, for which he has had to apologize. How do you see his role?
You know that I am I am the political opponent for Netanyahu for so many years. And before this brutal attack, I was speaking in the streets against him and for Israel's democracy. So I have lots of reasons why he shouldn't be the Israeli prime minister. This is one of them.
Tzipi Livni, former vice prime minister and foreign minister of Israel, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.